Check. Try this again. WSJU 861, WRTX 957.
WRWB 489, and we're standing by.
Good morning, Mike. WSBT 754.
Morning time there, Charlie. What's going on with you? Are you on your way to work?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's crazy out here. Just watch the guy that back there ways. He ain't happy with 85 mile an hour. He pushing his way through. He jumped over to the right-hand shoulder and passed three cars. I couldn't believe it, man. What a fool.
A death sentence. That's insane. I mean, he could have hit the guardrail and boom, caused a major accident.
There could have been anything laying out there, a dead deer, a part of a tire, a guardrail, or a car broke down. I mean to tell you, dude, 85's not fast enough, bud.
I hear them all the time, you know, especially like garage rockets. Where my buddy's, you know, shop is there in Mount Clemens. It's right there by 94. And holy moly, man. You hear those scratch rockets? It must be doing over 120 miles an hour.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me on a bike out here. No way. I don't know how some of these guys do it. My brother-in-law, my sister, they ride. I don't know, man. I don't think I'd want to be on a bike out here.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, those scratch rockets, they are really, I see them, you know, go up and down 94 all the time, you know, weaving in and out of traffic, lane splitting. I mean, that's crazy.
There used to be a guy, I haven't seen him all summer. Last summer he was out here every day right around 5:30. And this guy would fly on his bike, you know, in and out of traffic. Like you said, lane splitting back and forth, like lightning, man. Like, you have got a set, my friend.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wouldn't do that. Very dangerous. You know, somebody can get killed.
Somebody else's life because you got a death wish. They're nuts.
Yeah, some people just don't care, you know.
Well, that dude this morning, he's the winner, because I've never seen anybody pull that kind of move to pass three cars on the right shoulder at better than 80 miles an hour. You have got to be out of your mind, dude. You need to set your alarm clock a little earlier. Because if you got to run like that to make it to work, man, that's on you.
Right. No, I've seen it before. Detroit. I've seen it. Trust me. I'm like, well, what in the heck are you doing?
Crazy part of it was, once he got ahead of everybody, he was running about 85 miles an hour, just like everybody else, man. You know, he didn't do anything but get to the head of the line, and that's all he did. weeks or whatever, man. If that's what you need to be, next time I'll, when I see you coming, I'll move over.
Yeah, craziness.
Yeah, I got out here a little late yesterday afternoon. In their infinite wisdom, they decided to have a meeting at 3:15, 3:10. You know, just a quick one, just a quick meeting. It lasted till about 4 o'clock. I'm like, come on, man. Covering nothing, you know, nothing of anything important. The boss man sure loves his meetings.
No, okay. Yeah, I wonder why you weren't out there. Paul and I, we were out there for about 20 minutes or so, half hour.
Yeah, it's just, you know, what's running, what's in what machine, when's it going to be done, you know, things you could have asked me in the morning. And it wasn't really important, but he felt it was.
Sometimes those meetings can be useless, you know?
Oh, well. I get out at 2:30 today, so I don't know if I'll hear from you.
You're out at 2:30 today?
Yeah. Every Friday we work, we get off an hour early. It's, their schedule's kind of goofy. But once we've gotten used to it, it ain't so bad. It's like, oh, man, we got to work this Friday. But, hey, look, we get off early, so, yeah, it works out.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, sometimes I get out early on Fridays, and sometimes I don't. It just depends.
I've said it before, man. I don't think I could do your job that... Working every day and never knowing where you're going to be sometimes. Work late, get off early. I guess if I'd done it as long as you have, it wouldn't matter. But after a while, you know, a job like mine, you get set in your ways and you can't stand it when they change it, even an hour, you know.
Yeah, well, mine's always an adventure. I'm used to it, so, and it's not like, you know, that it's anything new. A lot of times I've had these people in the past, they just, you know, rotate, and or they, you know, so it's not like, oh, I've never been here before. It's just been, you know, been a long while, shall we say, like maybe years.
That gives you a chance to catch up on the gossip in their family, I guess. I know that when I've been to older people's houses, man, one of the best things you can do is just walk around and look at the pictures on the wall and start asking them, who's this? You know, where were you? And that sort of thing. Man, you can get some hour-long stories out of them.
Oh, yeah. I had one guy I used to take care of because nobody wanted to take care of him. You know, I mean, he was ornery, but that's because he had dementia. But this guy, every day after work, he'd close up his practice. He was a dentist. And he'd go to Canada to the $1 million saloon. And, of course, after he'd get done there, he'd order up a motel room and dirty movies and take one of the dancers home. That was his life, you know, when he was in between wives. He was married, like, 3 or 4 times.
with that habit, I could see him being married 3-4 times.
Yeah, he would tell me, well, you know, you kind of got to vast for all the fruits in the basket. I'm like, okay. I'm like, if that's what you say, man.
That's funny. had this old lady down in El Paso that she lived on my side of town, and her husband was a customer at our shop quite often. We were a radiator shop, wholesale and repair, industrial cars, you know, the whole ball wax. But we would do things for long-time customers, oil changes or brakes, you know, just to help them out. Well, he had died, and I started watching over his wife, Mrs. Jackson. Man, I used to love going over there, and, you know, she'd move a box or bring something up from the shed or something. And it's something little, you know. Man, you'd go over there, and she'd have pie and coffee, and, you know, you started asking questions about, hey, who is that in that picture, you know? And that looks like you, you know. And, oh, that's when I was so-and-so, and, man, you'd be there for hours, man. And it was the best thing for her because she loved it, you know. She just absolutely loved it. I miss that old lady.
Yeah, and then I had one. I took care of her husband, but, yeah, she used to work for, you know, Alan Tom Borman, the former, you know, owners of Farmer Jack before they sold out the A&P in 89.
Well, there's a name I haven't heard, and geez, I can't remember, Farmer Jack's.
Yeah, they left in 2007. Well, A&P shut us down. I worked for the company, too, for about 5 years. And the company, well, the parent company, said they didn't want to do business no more, and they shut down Farmer Jack. And, but then in the same token, they buy a struggling, you know, grocery chain on the East Coast called Pathmark. And it was just emerging from bankruptcy. And, of course, A&P buys it. It's like, oh, well, we knew exactly what they were doing.
Clover World never made sense to me. Well, hopefully it's going to be an uneventful day. Don't expect much going on, but hopefully it's going to be a nice, smooth day and get the heck out of here.
Yeah. Times two.
And I'll say it again to make it a third.
Morning. WSHM 738.
Paul, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, morning time.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Man, these people are nuts today, dude. Three cars in a row, man, just blow the light. And I'm glad I wait and I look, man, when I'm at the head of the line. Jeez, man, I was telling Mike earlier, Paul, coming down the highway. Everybody's running 80, 83, 85. This dude wasn't happy with that. He passes three cars on the right-hand shoulder.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't surprise me, you know. Seems like the day of traffic patrol cars are at a minimum, you know. And for a while, that's why people get away with what they get away with. Once they start getting ticketed, and then the stories transmigrate from there, then all of a sudden people start behaving. But it doesn't seem like that kind of stuff goes on like, as I remember, in the 90s and 80s. So, civil obedience, that's what it all comes down to, in many forms and fashions.
Usually the police will sit right there in the emergency turnaround there, right around the 243 mile marker, or right by the old way stations there, just past the 243. And I've noticed the sheriffs now, they got new BMWs for motorcycles. They were out, what was it, on and off the whole summer, you know, patrolling 94.
I rarely see cops out there when I'm traveling in the morning, rarely.
That's weird, because I see them all the time. They must come out later on when you're already at work. Yeah, because when I get there, I'm driving by, you know, around like 8 o'clock in the morning, I see them sitting at me in there. State Police, Chesterfield, and Macomb Sheriff.
Like big motor home or a fifth wheel or trailer or something. Ran a cop over. I think it was kind of dark out, and the cop was sitting there in cop mode with no lights on the motorcycle. Hit him with the back wheels and drug him like to the next exit or something and killed him. And then they halted all motorcycle activity for a few weeks as they were reviewing their policies. I don't know if you guys remember that. And I think the guy who hit the cop obviously was an accident, right? Not on purpose. Not because he was drunk. Just the circumstances. And he was an older guy, I think. I remember that. That was on 75, wasn't it? I don't know for sure, but I thought it was way out on 96 somewhere, out that way, you know. I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, it might have been. That was, what, a state trooper?
Michigan State Police, yeah. I started the story out by saying the Michigan State Police, yeah.
No, because we had doubled for a minute, and evidently you won, so.
Well, actually, you did, Mike. Okay, well, I don't know. I do remember that story. It was pretty horrific. Yeah, and I remember, I think I found this story because there was a lawyer that was involved, and he's a really good attorney by the name of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Neil Rocklin or something of that name. And I could be wrong about that. I'm going back 5, 6, 7 years maybe. But the thing was, is they proved that the motorcycle, the state cop was a little negligent in it because he was there with his lights off. So it was hard for the guy to even know he was there. And they proved that, like they do with airplane accidents. They can tell when a light bulb brakes, if they were on or if they were off. The way the filament stretches and breaks, they were hot. If it breaks like a spring, you know, just an ordinary spring, which that's what the filament looks like most times, you know, it breaks differently. So it almost stretches when it's red hot, right? And that's how they know. But I think also the light kill switch, dark mode, they found the motorcycle that was switched on, meaning no lights, right? So the poor guy never had a chance to know he was there in the dark. And that's what it come down to. They went after him for homicide. Yeah, you got to drive with your head on a swivel nowadays, man. You really got to pay attention. And that fool this morning, man, he was telling Mike, dude, he could have hit anything, a deer, a tire, another car, you know. And it's like, you're out of your mind, dude. We're already flying down here. Everybody's in the line, and you got to do something stupid like that just to get in the lead. I still do the same speed, you know. You're nuts, man.
Yeah, I've seen where it, like, there's mangled up, you know, extension ladders that are pushed up against that concrete wall there in the center median. And, you know, or sometimes I see like furniture that fell off a truck and it's just piled up along the median in the shoulder there. So, yeah, he could have really did some damage.
Ruin everybody's day, man, because you can't handle beaming in the back. It's crazy. WSBT 754.
WSHM 738.
WRWB 49.
Yeah, so the moral to the story was, you know, they went after this old guy, right? And, you know, I get it. It's terrible. Somebody died. And look, every year on the freeway, there are close to 1,000 deaths. And in fact, I just seen a sign on the freeway the other day, like 836 or 863 highway deaths in Michigan. They're right on cue every year. High 900s, 1,000.
It terrifies me to know that my granddaughter's driving from Port Huron to Ypsilanti. To me, she'll always be 12. And now she's out here driving in this crap, man, and scares me to death to know she's on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, it's like Final Destination, right? You see a series of things and you just get into the right area at the right time on the right day. And it's all it takes. And you don't even have to be guilty of anything. You're just driving.
Yeah, I got a lot of years of experience driving. Been driving for a long time. And then driving truck, you know. I got a habit of checking my mirrors all the time, so I see what's going on around me. You know, young drivers, they haven't got a chance out here sometimes.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
You get those people that they go, I got a self-driving car, I can just sleep. Huh. No.
I'll be on a short string today, Charlie. I know you're probably getting close, so I'll say good morning to you. Have a good Friday. I think I heard you telling Mike you're getting off an hour earlier today, so have a good Friday. I hope it goes quick.
As a matter of fact, I just pulled into my parking spot, so time to go in and make the coffee, look around, wine, snivel a little bit, and then go to work. Talk at you guys probably Monday morning, WSBT 754.
Okay, we'll catch you later, Charlie.
Yep, there you go. So, all right, Mike, I'm going to be on a short string today. You let me know when I start getting noisy. There'll probably be a few areas hit and miss there along the way, but I'm on a short string today, and I think you know what that means.
Yeah, I know what that means. So evidently, they're not linked. Well, anyway, but yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, what day of the week it is. If you, as soon as you get in that car and go to work, I mean, that's waiting to happen.
That's crazy. I mean, you got to be careful. You got to have your eyes focused on everybody around you when you're driving. So.
That's why I like working, you know, north instead of working south. I don't like working, you know, towards the city. I'd rather work north where it's rural, no traffic, no BS.
Yep, for sure. The less people, the better off you are.
I like it like that. I mean, it's a lot more, you know, peaceful, and you're not dealing with every a-hole on the road.
Now what time you got to get going today?
Around 8 o'clock. I got to be out.
All right, well, you got a couple hours ahead of you there.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway. Well, you know, I'm going to take a standby here. My dog keeps, you know, pacing back and forth.
Okay, take care of it, and I'll catch you later on a short string today. We'll see ya. WRWB 489, WFHM 738.
All right, we'll catch you later. WRWB 489, and we'll be standing by.
Somebody have a bad day.
changes. 467.
This is WRWD 49. We're standing by. WSN 708.
WSGG 772, Shelby Township, mobile monitoring.
WROD 608, Shelby Township, you have a radio check?
Copy that. Shelby Township, they're coming loud and clear, Shelby Township, WSGG 772.
All right, sounds like the repeater is back in action. This is WSHY 363 Mobile monitoring.
WRWB, Mike, do you copy?
Yeah, go ahead there, Paul. We got a copy on you. This is WRWB 49.
This is WSGG 772, Shelby Township. Gotcha, Mike.
I was readjusting my antenna when you were calling for me. Yeah, I was going down the road today, and I'm like, man, what is with my ring? You know, it just didn't seem right. So then I went up there, and I was like, oh, the antenna was weak. Better retighten it, readjust the SWR.
Coming in loud and clear now.
Just up over here at 31 and Fresh.
Over at the old Troy Beaumont Hospital, DeQuinta and Hall Road.
Yeah, roger.
Well, thank God for Friday. Yeah, got a sibling dinner going to in Romeo. Romeo Main Street. Pump, I think, or something like that. We're going to dinner, and then we're going to Tilt Street after that, and check out all the Halloween decorations down that street.
Yeah, I've been to that bar. It's got some pretty good food.
Yeah, that's what I heard from people I work with. There's good food. They're a little pricey, but it's worth it.
Won't be disappointed, trust me.
Yeah, I got down to be disappointed, Tim.
Yeah, Tilt Street is where they have, like, the famed, like, Halloween decorations, and people like to, I guess, compete against each other or something.
Yeah, when you buy a house on that street, you got to sign a contract that you participate in the decorations on the holidays.
Never knew that. Huh. Interesting.
I'll tell you, some of those houses, I bet you they spend well over 10 grand just on decorations. That's just for Halloween, let alone Christmas.
Yeah, I put up some decorations for the holidays. Not much. I don't feel like it.
I used to put up decorations, and after my wife passed away over 5 years ago, I just not in the mood with putting decorations outside anymore. That's how I feel, man. I just don't care to put that crap out. Just too much work putting it up, and then you gotta take it all down. Forget it. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, my wife and I, we did it together. It was like teamwork, so it was nice. Because I put up a lot of stuff. I can believe it. You know, I've seen some of them, like down in the Shores and Grosse Pointe. They spend a lot of money down there, let me tell you. I mean, and I'm sure they have professionals that put that stuff up. You know, they don't do it. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. They hire people to do that. Decorate my car for Halloween. I've seen people do that for Christmas. You know, they get those 12-volt Christmas lights and they string them in, have them on top of the cargo rack and in the windows and all that other stuff. Just put a hood cover over the front hood of my car. Right now I got a Halloween one. You get them, they're on Amazon. Roger that. Hey, I'm going to be going in the drive-thru here at CVS. I don't know if I'll be able to put out very good when I get underneath the overhang. To do a test run and see what happens. Yeah, I'm two cars out, so I think this car in front of me is applying for a mortgage. When you go to the pharmacy, they want your whole life story, just to give you a thing of test strip. It's funny, every time I go to the drive-thru, either the bank or the drugstore, I always get the per car in front of me that's like applying for a freaking mortgage. Or you get the one that's right with the pharmacist because, you know, they need their so-called, pain meds because they really got some really bad back pain. And here they are tackling the pharmacist, tying up the line. They act because they're bipolar. I work for a pharmaceutical company, and what's nice about it is, doesn't matter how the economy is, people need the drugs when the economy is good or bad.
That is true. People are always getting sick.
I've been there 33 years, and I haven't been laid off in 32 years.
I knew a guy, one old professor of mine, he used to work for Pfizer, and he got laid off back when Pfizer was down there in, Kalamazoo or Adrian? Somewhere down there.
Yeah, I'm underneath the canopy at the drive-thru window, so I don't know if I'm coming through or not.
You're full quieting into the machine, so I wouldn't worry about it. But yeah, I had a professor once that used to work for Pfizer when it was down, and I think was at Kalamazoo or Adrian, and he got laid off.
Pfizer had a big layoff because they were shutting down certain plants and moving around. We've hired some people from Pfizer.
I see. Okay.
It's one thing nice about my meds. Some of the medication I get free because I work for a pharmaceutical company.
Sure, that helps out a lot, obviously, when it comes time to, meaning seminal drugs.
I know there's one medication I take, it's not cheap. For a 3-month supply, I shell out like $40 out of my pocket because my company don't cover that one because they don't make that one. But it's for, what you call it, that imbalance between your ears. You get seasick.
I can't hear Tucson. Vertigo.
That's it, vertigo. Boy, when that hits me, wow. I got to take 2 pills and go to bed. Sometimes it will last me a week.
You start walking all sideways and crap, and they're like, Jesus. Yeah, I know a guy who's got that too. Or he says he does, but I mean, I don't know if he's faking it or not, but he could, because he does have all the symptoms.
My prescription med does a really good job on it, but that one drug that you could buy on the shelf, it's expensive, but yeah, I used to use that stuff before I got on a prescription.
Yeah, copy that. Luckily, you know, knock on wood, I don't have to take any pharmaceuticals unless, you know, I get sick or something, but I very rarely catch a cold or have pneumonia or, you know, everything in between.
Yeah, I used to get the flu shot, and when they came out with the COVID, I said, nope, I ain't taking that. No way. And when I get the regular flu shot, I always get sick like 3 times a year. But since I stopped taking all the flu shots, I don't get sick anymore.
Yeah, well, that's because they inject like a minor strain of the virus in that vial. So when they inject it in you, you know, you basically, you got the flu injected in you, but it's a small amount to ward off the flu. Does that make any sense? I don't know. That's what they do.
Yeah, copy that. Two of my sister's friends died right after they got that flu, that COVID jab.
You are WB49. Well, I've never had any of those shots. I've had COVID twice. I had it, the first time was the worst. Second time was like very minuscule, and you know, and yeah, did I feel like crap? Sure, but it just felt like a really strong case of the flu, and that was it. It lasted about maybe 4 days for me, and then I was back to normal.
Yeah, copy that. The pharmaceutical company I work for, we used to make the flu vaccine out of chicken eggs, just the regular flu. And people that worked in that building would get sick. I never got sick from it when I worked in there. But, man, it had an awful smell with all them eggs. But we don't make that anymore. We don't make any flu vaccines in our facility anymore.
So you make like all kinds of other stuff like insulin, T-Pax, Norco, Percocet, Subutex, Suboxone?
Oh, we make our sterile injectables, and it's for the hospitals. It's nothing you would get at the doctor's office or pharmaceutical or pharmacy. It's all hospital, the medication.
Okay, so you got everything packed in an intravenous type bag?
We don't use bags. We use glass vials.
Okay. I gotcha.
Well, I'm at the home base, so it's nice talking to you, and you have a wonderful weekend, my friend. WSGG 772, clear after you.
Sir Paul, we'll catch you later. This is WRWB 49. We'll be standing by.
This is WSGN 708.
Go ahead there.
Yeah, just checking to see if I'm in range of the repeaters.
Yeah, what's your proximity? You're coming in pretty good. A little bacon frying on the back end, but all in all, you're still getting in.
Okay, great. Good to hear. Thank you. I'm just coming out of Pontiac, eastbound on 59, and it's generally right where I start to be able to repeat or reach the McComb repeater.
About where it's like 59 and up Dyke. That's really high up there. Yeah, you're coming in, so.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes on a, I don't know, I guess it depends on the weather, maybe a really clear sunny day. Sometimes I can reach it just as I'm coming into downtown, right at, I forgot the name of that street. But just west of downtown. Sometimes I can hit it.
About MLK Boulevard or Cesar Chavez?
No, one of the major roads. Yeah, it's just not coming to me right now. I got having a brain fart.
Woodward and you got Telegraph.
Oh yeah, Telegraph. Thank you. Yeah. So I come down 59, and yeah, that's the first road, I guess, that you, right as you're coming into downtown, and then it starts getting real choppy, kind of, you know, the road dips down a little bit as you come down by the big buildings, that probably has some obstruction to it, and then I get on the freeway, and it opens up, and I have pretty much a clear line of communication to that repeater.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. You know, I used to work out there with a buddy of mine at the Dixieland flea market there at Telegraph and Cesar Chavez.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah, I'm just, I'm on a DB20, and I believe that's a 20-watt radio, and I got a Nagoya. I think it's a 72G antenna, and I got a good friend of mine who, he's got one of the Midland antennas. He gets a little bit better range with it than what I do, but for the cost, I mean, you can't really beat the setup.
That works pretty damn good. I'm just running a QB25, which is a quad band radio with a quad band antenna that comes with it. And it seems to do okay. Does about 20 watts in.
Oh, okay. So when you say quad band, is that more like a ham radio then?
It's all mode. Fully unlocked. And but I have it. I mean, right now I have it set to GMRS, but you can, you know, it's easy to, you know, fully unlock for all of UHF and VHF.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that maybe as time goes on, I might dabble more into that, maybe get into the ham radio stuff. For now, I'm still pretty new with the GMRS bit. Me and a buddy of mine at work, we kind of got into it together and just started playing around and then started learning about it, reading up on it, and it's pretty nice how it's set up, and you can, you know, for a nominal cost, you can get into it without getting really into the heavy stuff like the ham radio thing.
Yeah, I'm just
Oh, the ham radio stuff's pretty boring, you know, unless you want to get on 2 meters and start dropping the F-bombs and stuff like that. WRUZ 935.
That's funny. So I guess that's where all the juicy stuff is then?
Oh, Michael know what I'm talking about.
What's up, John? Well, I heard 40 meters is pretty prevalent to that nowadays.
Well, just, you know, generally there's certain frequencies, you know. It's just, you know, high-profile idiots get on certain frequencies. And, you know, the chaos attracts more chaos. As long as they keep it in one spot, most of 40 meters is pretty good. Most of 75 is pretty good. 20 is usually pretty good since the 14-313 wars have gone by the wayside. But we're talking ancient history. Anyway, I'm not sure who the other station is, but this is John, and my call is WRUZ 935.
All right, John, good to meet you. This is Cliff. This is WSGN 708. Some of the things that you're mentioning there are coming back to me. I had a coworker of mine, a really good friend, too, that a long time ago he got into that ham radio stuff, and I just remember talking to him about it and asking him about it, but a little bit of that's kind of sounding familiar.
Well, it's a great hobby. I've enjoyed it for almost 40 years. Got a ton of stuff sitting over here, and I enjoy doing the swaps and going and buying and selling and trading and trying to support my vices in the hobby. So, anyway, I'm sitting down here checking out a watt meter that the connector, the power connector, is off of the circuit board that's visible through the back. So I'm temporarily soldering a 9-volt battery lead on there, make sure the meter's working properly before I rip it all apart and try and solder that connector back on. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I know what you mean by the tomfoolery, of course, and the QRMs. That happens. Yeah, it hasn't happened as much lately out here as it has in the past couple of weeks. But, yeah, you know, things of that nature, it just seems to spill out all over the place, even on 2 meter.
Well, I find all that pretty interesting, guys. I enjoy hearing about it, and it's good to have hobbies like this. It keeps the mind sharp. So, and plus, I just like it too to have a secondary line of communication should society collapse. So, that's kind of the other aspect of it that interests me. But anyway, Mike and John, it's good talking to you. I got to hop off now, and I'll leave it clear for you guys. This is WSGN 708. Over and out.
Yeah, we'll catch you later there, Cliff. Oh, John, speaking of swaps, on December 1st is Lance Cruz, right?
December 7th.
Change it? I thought it was always on the 1st.
I don't know. It's December 7th. There's one down in Ohio I'm going to go to on the 6th. That's a Saturday. Fulton County. It's a small one down there in Fulton County, but I know the guy that's putting it on, and he saved me a table. So I said, oh, we need just one table, one ticket. So I'll run down there to Fulton County and do that one overnight, and then come back right after that, drive right up to Lance Cruz and set up over there. So take some blankets and cover everything all up. That's why I'm trying to get some stuff ready. I've got this real nice Real nice. It's an Odtech. Have you ever seen the Odtech watt meters? Odtech WM1 compounding computing meter. It shows SWR and forward power simultaneously.
Ever seen those? No. Not that I can remember or recall.
It's got two meters on it. SWR's on the left and power's on the right. Three switches down below. You know, power switch on the left, and then peak or average power in the middle, and the third switch is a three position, 2,200 and 2,000 watts. So it is a PEP reading watt meter, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Oh, with a remote sensor. The remote sensor, it's wired. It's about a 3 foot long cable, so you don't have to run your coax up to the meter. Have the coax be pulling the meter, you know, backwards. So yeah, it's HF. And so just checking some stuff out here. I want to have some good stuff to put on the table. I got to check out a couple of amplifiers. I've got a Drake L4 that I would like to sell. I got to get after this Drake stuff. I think over the winter I'm gonna concentrate on recapping that and getting that all straightened out, ready to fly right. And I got a Drake C line with the L4 and the 2,000 watt antenna tuner, and I've got a Drake TR6 that I need to check out. I've got a couple of those power supplies to run the tube-type transmitters, but only one of them's been recapped. I got four power supplies, and only one of them's been recapped.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, the last swap we went to, we did pretty good, considering, you know, it maybe sprinkled a little bit, but we did okay.
Oh, that was the GM one?
One at the Packard Proving Grounds, yeah. I think there was about maybe 30 people that showed up at that one, if that.
Yeah, that's, I went to the little one in Toledo, which I really want to support that little one in Toledo. They got a nice venue. They got a bingo hall. So all the tables are all set up and everything, and it's kind of like the way like the Flying Deers split away from the Useka Club. This is a group of guys that kind of did the same thing from the TMRA group down there. So they're kind of the go out and have fun and get stuff done. They're doing VE testing. The guy's got a bunch of repeaters up and stuff. So the one guy is really very reminiscent of like Sean. He's kind of the brains of the group and access to the sites, access to the repeaters, and takes care of stuff. So that's why I really want to support that group, you know, because they got, like I said, they got a nice venue. It's basically when you go, if you take 75 South, you go down to exit 2 in Michigan. You get off at exit 2 and you continue south. The minute you cross the line into Ohio, it's on the left-hand side. Nice little venue and everything, very easy to get to.
Yeah, copy. Only ones I've been to down there, actually it was only one. That was Finley. That's the only one I've ever been to. Never been to Dayton. Always wanted to go, but never got a chance. I don't know if you know him, but Mark, the tube guy, Mark Gorge, you know, he's always been wanting to, you know, rent a big tour bus and grab a group of guys and go down there.
Mark, a tube guy, I'm not sure who that is.
He's the one that's got the long beard. He's a Zionist. you know, Israeli?
No, I don't know him. Don't know him, so. But anyway, yeah, you know, if you want to clear out a bunch of stuff, Dayton's a place to do it. Finley, you know, Finley's really shooting themselves in the foot by raising their prices and stuff like that. They're, you know, charging for all the camping and stuff. It used to be that, you know, when you went down there, if you pulled your camper up, you know, your camper trailer across some flea market spots on the outside, you know, you set up and you know, people just stayed right there on their spot. Now they want you to pay for the spots, and they want you to pay for camping and all of this other stuff. And it's you know, and then they raise the prices of the spots and the tickets and, you know, so. Oh, and the swap for the Toledo, that small group for Toledo, I believe their swap was free. So charge a couple of bucks for the tables, and I think entrance was free. But they're really trying to do something there. Fort Wayne's kind of screwing themselves, too. Fort Wayne is that's coming up November 15th and 16th. And they've raised their table prices, and now they're charging you an insurance fee. If you want to pull your vehicle in the building to unload, they charge you like an extra $5, I think it's per space. And the tables got to be kind of expensive, so, you know, they're raising the price of the tables, plus charging the insurance fee, plus raising the price of their entry tickets. So, boom, 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 going up and up and up, and people are going to get mad and stop going.
Yeah, pretty much. That's insane, man. You know, that kind of drives people away.
Yeah. So, anyway, it is what it is. I mean, prices are going up on everything all over. And, you know, and unfortunately, you're dealing with ham radio operators who are some of the cheapest people on the face of this earth. So, that's why I think the places that keep the entrance fees down, I mean, if you can keep everything down, your prices down, you're going to get more people, so... bottom line, you raise your prices, you're going to get less people, which means you're going to bring in the same amount of people, but your swap's going to get smaller and smaller, and eventually it's going to die.
Like the ones around here.
Yeah, like Useka canceled theirs. They only had seven tables or something reserved. I was just calling up to get two tables for me and two tables for my buddy Dave from Cleveland. He was coming up. So, you know, hell, that would have been a 50% increase in table reservations, but they canceled it, you know, the day I was going to make my reservations.
Like Gene and I were talking about, you know, well, what about the people that just come in, you know, that day and just buy a table right then and there, you know? Did they forget about those people?
Well, I talked with, you know, one of the guys on the one of the nets, and I said, hey, you guys got to do a lot better at getting the word out that that the swap is canceled. Because, you know, it's one thing to, you know, for you guys not to show up. But, like, imagine if my buddy Dave said, you know, oh, I'll drive up and you know, so he'd bring a bunch of stuff to fill up a couple of tables. And he always brings good stuff, too. So, I mean, he's no slouch. I mean, he's a dealer, you know. He buys and trades and stuff. He's always got good radios, decent prices. And, you know, he's always very reputable. And, you know, you ever have a problem, just talk to him about it. He takes care of things, makes things right. He wants you to be happy. He'd drive all the way up and then find out, oh, they canceled. I guess we'll have a trunk swap over here while nobody's in the building.
Don't they usually put out a bulletin on ARRL or QRZ?
Yeah, but when you cancel it, you know, getting close to the date, people don't check it just before going. I mean, you mark that on your calendar and you know that you're going. So, you know, people don't check at the last minute.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, at least I know it's on the 7th of December and not the 1st. I always remember it being the 1st at the high school, unless it was the 7th, and I just got it mixed up.
Well, they took the old date from Hazel Park. That was Hazel Park's date back in the day. And I told you why Hazel Park always had the biggest swap, didn't I?
But I forgot.
Yeah, WREZ 935. Yeah, Hazel Park was the first swap after the publishing of the new call books, you know, back before Al Gore invented the Internet. And they had the phone, it was basically like a phone book and had everybody's call listed in there. And you could look them up and find out their addresses and all that stuff. It's kind of like you felt like Steve Martin. I'm somebody now. My call is in the call book. And there was two books. There was one for U.S. or North America, one for North America, and another book that you would have to buy a separate book for the rest of the world. And the U.S. call book was always, or North America was always thicker than what the rest of the world was. So that was the first swap after the printing of those books. They made it to all of the dealers, Michigan Radio, Ferris Radio, anybody that had, commercial accounts that sold, ARRL stuff. They got their books and they went there and people lined up to buy their new call books.
Yeah, I copy. Yeah, you did talk about that. So, I gotcha. Yeah, now it's all on the Internet. So, every once in a while, I'll come across, like, an estate sale or something, and I'll see those old books. And they're, like, giving them away.
Yeah, I still have one or two kicking around here from, when I first got licensed. Like I said, you feel like Steve Martin from The Jerk. I'm somebody now.
Movie just gone here the other day. That's the one where he's working at the gas station, right?
The movie starts off, I was born a poor black child. He was raised by a black family, and he was going off to the big city, and his dad says, I got to check and see if how you do. He says, what's this? He says, shoe polish. He says, what's that? It was, some horse dung or something. He says, crap. He says, you'll do all right. He knows the difference between shit and shinola.
Man. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm just got off work here and done for the day.
Yeah, that was a great movie. And he made his fortune, with the OptiGrab, the little thing on the front of your glasses that you grab and you put your glasses on, and then everybody went cross-eyed and they all sued him. He had to pay out all of his money and everything. He was left with nothing. And he's walking out of the house and it's all I need is this remote control and this lampshade. And my dog, the dog's name was Shithead. And my dog, Shithead.
I don't remember that one. I'll have to look that up on one of the streaming networks.
Oh, man, that's a classic movie. The Jerk with Steve Martin. And, what was her name? Something Peters. Bernadette Peters. Yeah, that was a good movie. So, classic. Anyway, I guess I should slap a 9-volt battery on this thing and see if this meter lights up.
Yeah, WRWB 49. Yeah, Gene was working on yesterday. I was over there and some guy brings in a T-Berry, stalker. And they pulled the clock out because he says, why do I need a clock on a radio when I when I got a clock on my wrist, I'm like, okay, you just wrecked the integrity of it. Then they put some type of a DigiKey on it. DigiScan. Put one of those in there and reconfigured some switches and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I got one over here. An old 135 XLR Cobra. Somebody disconnected a bunch of switches to put extra channels in the thing. And in doing that, they screwed up the switching for the internal power supply, because you could set it up so the alarm clock feature would turn the radio on. And they got that all screwed up, so now it doesn't work off the internal power supply. But I fired up the internal power supply, and it puts out 14 volts. So nothing wrong with the power supply, 13.9 or something like that. So I was like, now I got to try and reverse engineer all of the wires that they hacked and chopped out of there. And I'm not real interested in doing that. I got bigger, more expensive ham radio stuff I'd like to be working on rather than a 40-channel sideband base station.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah. I just found that kind of odd why he would... Well, I think what his intentions were was to take the DigiScan and mount it inside where the clock was. But that didn't work out the way he planned it.
Oh, well, that would make sense, you know, for him ripping the clock out. But then, you know, you find out it's not going to work. I think I had the WRUZ935.
At about 3 minutes ago.
And you got a picture coming at you on your phone.
Look at it. Hold on. Yeah, I have seen these before. Gene had a set of these. Not very long ago, he had them, but for a short-lived minute, and sold them.
Yeah, this one's pretty clean, but somebody must have, yanked on the power cord or something and yanked the connector off the circuit board. So I got to look and see. Make sure it's working first, and then see if I can solder that connector. Actually, they put the connector inside a tiny Ziploc bag and stuffed it in the back of the meter, so that was nice. So the good price I got on it, all of a sudden isn't so good. Just like I got a real nice clear speech speaker. You ever seen a clear speech speaker? It's got the DSP built in.
I can't say I have.
Okay, well, it's basically like a, like a external speaker for a CB radio, that size. And it's got two knobs on it. So it's an amplified speaker. It's got a, I think it's got a headphone jack on it. Yeah, it's got a headphone jack on the front. And it's got, what do they say? It says filtering and volume with the on and off. And it's made by West Mountain Radio. And got a great deal on it. Bought that speaker for $5. They sold for $200 or $220 brand new. Paid $5 for it. Great deal, right? Oh, yeah, proprietary stuff that doesn't work. All it does is just feedback. So, call up West Mountain Radio. Yeah, $55 flat rate repair bill. Plus, I think it was $13 to ship the thing out and $13 to ship back. So, you're looking at, $80-some dollars, round-trip shipping. Hell, I got almost $90 in the darn thing, just to get it and have it work, which means I got to sell it for at least $110 to cover my time and everything else and my packing materials.
But I had something similar to that. It was an old Archer speaker with the it was a, you know, power amplified external speaker with the jack on it and had the volume control made by Archer.
Well, Radio Shack did make a DSP unit, so this is kind of like the DSP unit's built right into the speaker, so it it filters out a lot of the unwanted noise and stuff like that. So, and they work pretty good.
They never made their own stuff. They always had stuff, you know, that they'd purchase from the leading manufacturer, and then they'd slap their name on it.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those Radio Shack DSP units over here. I've got a TimeWave DSP over here, a 599 or whatever it is. I'm not sure which exact model it is, but I got one a TimeWave over here. I've got a couple of NIR. I got an NIR. I think I sold the last of the NIR 10s. I had two of those, the 10s. And I've got three of the 12s, which the NIR 12 was really cool. It had, and we're talking back, you know, back to like the 90s when the stuff was available. And it had dual 40 meg processors in it, you know, to chop up and take away the noise. Automatic notch filter, so the minute somebody would key up, you know, throw a carrier while you're on sideband, it would just take that tone right out of there. Somebody could be sending CW, and you know, it would blank out the tone completely.
I get what you're saying. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the West Mountain, about the auto notch feature, if that's got that or not. I would bet it probably does. But, you know, even the Radio Shack did decent on that auto notch feature. But, you know, the TimeWave and the NIR brands, those were a little bit better than the Radio Shacks. But the Radio Shacks, they were inexpensive, but they worked. Can't complain about something that works, right?
You can't complain about that.
Yep, especially when you can find those Radio Shack DSPs at swaps for sometimes $20-$25. You know, people want $40 from them. I mean, Radio Shack, when they blew them out, when they were going out of business, they were selling them for $20. So that's kind of like, I won't buy one unless I get it for $20. And then I put it up for $35 and try and get $30 for it after taking it home and cleaning it up and making sure it works and all of that stuff. So that's the hard part, is taking things home and checking them out and making sure it works.
I got a phone call here. I'll catch you in a little bit here. WRWB 49 will be standing by.
All the way up to 440, all mode, nice base station radio. Everything working on it? Oh, yeah, works fine. Yeah, get it home. No output power on HF.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got a phone call here. Yeah, it was a big man. He was going to some record store, some new one.
Very good. So, and you got to be about home, aren't you?
I took a detour. I'm at the shack, so to speak, waiting on him.
Ah, okay, very good. Well, tell him I said hello. So I gotta get with checking out this meter before she blows the dinner whistle.
Yeah, I hear you there. All right, well, I'm going to get back on the quiet side here. So you take care, and good luck on that meters. And this is WRWB 49, and we'll be standing by.
All right, Mike. And I was just about to stick the radio in my work truck, and they downed my truck again for preventative maintenance, you know, oil change and stuff like that. I saw they got it in the bay today, but they have also got you know, brake parts, so they're going to do a brake job on it. So don't know how efficient they are on doing brakes, but all the parts were stacked up on the catwalk, so I'll get around to getting this radio in, and maybe I can get on in the mornings and you know, catch you guys going to work, because I'm out there all night. I'll catch you later. WREZ-935.
Before you go, yeah, we're usually out there around like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, so, all right. We will talk at you later. This is WRWB 49, and we'll be standing by. WSKF-896, mobile monitoring.
WSHR 566 on the MRI. Oh, yes, I see now, too. 973, you got that?
Yeah, come on.
What happening?
No, the same old, same old.
Well, that doesn't sound so good. Down and down, brother, life's good, dude. Come on now. You woke up today, life's good.
Yeah, if that's the way you look at it. So what's going on, man?
Yeah, so when I got home, I adjusted my rear brake, and shit almost sent me through the windshield, bro. Shit.
No, so you have full pedal now?
Oh, yeah, I did, and then I kind of did emergency brake check on it, and kind of went down a little bit. I probably could go back and readjust them, but yeah, when I first did it, I mean, I just touched the pedal as solid as could be, like a manual brake, and did emergency brake. I'll probably have to readjust them, but at least I know what it is.
Yeah, all right. Probably have to do just a few more turns on the stars, and should be it. That's probably all that was wrong.
Hey, hey, hey. WSAL 946. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, not much. Just settling down here. YouTube time, you know. What's up, Dave? Yeah, Ralph. What's happening, man? How you doing? I'm all right. Hey, you know what? We talking yesterday, day before, you know, Frank's break. It dawned on me, you know, when you put it in reverse and hit the brakes, you have to do that with the emergency brake, not the regulars to make them adjusters automatic.
Yeah, roger that, because I tell you what, I adjusted the back brakes, and I went to hit my emergency brake, and it was like the emergency brake was all the way up. It's like, normally they have to push it like almost all the way down, and now it's like a couple inches and it's up, instead of like 8 inches. So yeah, it made a big difference.
No, I mean for them to automatically adjust, you put it in reverse, and then you hit the emergency brake, not the brake pedal. The emergency brake is what makes that thing adjust, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, roger that, but I just manually adjusted them, so and it did what it needed to do. But yeah, I'll give that a shot next time they get low, believe me.
Yeah, I got you. That's what I was saying the other day, you know, if your rears are sloppy, they'll eat up, they'll take up a whole bunch of pedal, man.
Yeah, roger that, because I was, like, barely pumping instead of pumping, barely tapping on them, and they came up. So I figured, oh, yeah, they just need adjusting. So then I went ahead and pulled in the driveway this morning, or this afternoon when I got off work, and popped it up, popped the wheels off and adjusted them and spun the drum and got them up to where they need to be. So I also noticed that the drums didn't even have no wear on them, so they've been out for a while. That's why it's burning out through the front pad so quick.
Yeah, I copy that. I'm glad you got it straightened out. It's going to get cold out there. You know, I've been messing with that crap all the time. How's it going, Dave? I just turned the radio on. I don't know if you were out there earlier or not. WSZ 793. Rest in peace, Ace Reilly. Anyway, I just turned it on, about 15, 20 minutes ago. Detroit was out this morning, and then later on, I shouted out a couple times, nobody answered, and I just turned it off. It's been off since, until about 15 minutes ago. What's this guy's name from Kiss That Died again? What's his name? Ace Frehley. Okay. You know, I got into Kiss when they first came out. Hell, I was just a kid. But after that, I don't know. Kind of like watching wrestling, man. I just couldn't get into the Kiss thing.
Yeah, we all did, because I got into it real heavy, too, and then kind of fell out.
Yeah, it's the same here, exact same thing. First couple albums there, I was into them. But then, I don't know, I think they started becoming more commercialized. You know, I got out of them. You know, when they started becoming more commercialized, I was like, And then they came out with that stupid disco album, or that disco tune, I Was Made for Loving You, or whatever, and I was like, yeah, they're just trying to cash in. Even today, you hear them both talk, Paul and Gene, all they talk about is the money, you know, Kiss launch boxes, Kiss condoms, Kiss this, Kiss that. That's, you know, I just couldn't see it that way.
Old Gene Simmons, With a song like that guy, he should have went into porno. The guitar playing porno dude, he's being 10 times richer.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, when they only had two good tunes really anyways, Detroit Rock City and Beth. Other than that, it wasn't all that.
I liked their first album when they first came out, with Cold Sin and all them tunes on there. I thought it was a good album. I listened to it quite a few times over. And I think the second one, which I think was Destroyer. I'm not sure. It's been so long. But then I just started, they just started going over commercial and, you know, started commercializing, you know, instead of just, you know, getting with the music, you know, they talking about, you know, putting out lunch boxes and everything with their names on them and stuff. And, you know what I mean, just going commercial. And I just, you know, and then, like I said, the music started suffering too because of it, at least in my opinion. So I said, nah, man, this band ain't for me.
Okay. It was about Aerosmith time, wasn't it? When that was all happening?
Yeah, but Aerosmith didn't go commercial. I call it selling out. But I don't know. Like I said, it's just my opinion. I'll be back in a sec.
100% in or 100% out and this and that. I was like, yeah, you guys are kind of going disco-ish, and I just fell out of it. Not just that, they fired Ace Frehley, and then they fired Peter Criss, and it wasn't the same to me.
Yeah, it's like a little corporation. They just hire and fire when they want to. Somebody's running the show for sure.
Yeah, Gene Simmons was. He bought out Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, and then they just treated him like trash, and finally the guys just quit what they wanted, and they brought them other guys in there, and it was a clown show. And then again, they were out there begging for their fans, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, you got your brakes fixed up. I got my garage door fixed up today. I got two small garage doors, and one that has the opener on it, all messed up and banging and stopping and about to fall off. It just starts off of the other side, which is the same door that I don't really use, and made it work, so can keep it out of the snow, keep the car out of the snow this year.
All right, I'm back.
I was wondering what was happening. No, you have to ban the garage door thing. Yeah, another thing was, too, is my cousins came by yesterday, and they said, you might have some junk caught up in your master cylinder, so I got a turkey baster out, and I sucked the stuff out, and lo and behold, I found a little piece of a top, the chrome part, where you peel off the chrome, and then there's that little thing underneath, and there's a little piece of chrome that was stuck down in there, and I sucked that out, and after that, I had full pedal, but I had already put them 15th time, but either way, there's a little something up in that boost, so that might have helped a lot, too, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, you really, most people don't. I haven't in the past, but I haven't had any trouble with, you know, you got to be real careful with your brake fluid. You don't want water. You don't want anything in there, you know.
Yeah, no, roger that. Like I said, I took that turkey baster out there, and it's clear, and you can see the little contaminants in there. There's a bunch of little black stuff up in there, and it was pretty big. What really shocked me was when I pulled out that little chrome piece. It was probably a quarter inch by quarter inch, and that's about how big them lines are. So I think that affected it greatly, because after I did that, magically I had breaks, and I already bled them 15 times. So I don't think that last time I bleed them really did anything, so other than burn up three big tubes of brake fluid. Roger that.
Yep, roger that. Well, that's what I told you the other day. You should be able to bleed that whole system with one small bottle, you know, or one big bottle or two small bottles.
Well, that's what leads me to believe that that little piece of the top was an issue. You know, it from bleeding it down to bleeding it down, I think it sucked it down in there. I don't know what exactly it was, or restricting it or something. But, yeah, I just think it made a huge difference. Because as soon as I did that, I started the truck up. I had brake boost, so, and pedal. And, you know.
Yep, copy that. I'm going to get back into the YouTube here,
fellas. WSAL
946. I'll
be listening, though. Yeah, roger that, 946. So, what we got going on over there, Dave?
I'm getting ready to go to bed. Guess I need some Chinese and I'm just sitting here doing a few things and I'm gonna go lay down. Hey Ralph, before I turned the radio on, I was watching Shango on YouTube and he was working on a Grundig Majestic 3030U, which is, I believe is the same one you have. And there is a knob in the front, like a thumb wheel, that when you move it, it turns the AM bar antenna inside the radio instead of you having to turn the radio, the whole radio, in the direction of the radio station or speaker and all. You move the thumb wheel, and the thumb wheel spins the antenna inside by it, you know. And there's a little round gauge on the front that shows what degree the bar antenna is pointed at there. I seen it on there, you know, because I remember you told me you couldn't find it on yours. It's on there. Yeah, copy that. Well, I was hoping to get a second one. Actually, my ex-mother-in-law, her birthday was last weekend, and one of my daughters talked me into going to dinner with her. And so I quizzed her on that Grundig that it was her father's. And she swears it's not in the house. She doesn't know what the hell happened to it. But that, I tried. Yeah, all right. Well, could be somewhere in the house in the attic or somewhere or under a bunch of stuff, or it could have got tossed, or no man could have sold it. Who the hell knows? No big deal. If she don't know where it's at, well then, you know, ain't no need to pursue it any further, I suppose, but, all right. But, yeah, I'm getting ready to go to bed here in a minute, and I guess tomorrow's another day. Jeez.
What are you going to get into, some Chinese food?
Yeah, I just got done eating some. Got some from Takey Audi. Not the best. It's all right, but I've had mucho better. But, had me some almond chicken, some rice. They give you so much of it, there's still a whole bunch of left. I put it in the fridge. Stuff fills you up with, but then like Chinese food, an hour later, if I'm still awake, I'll be hungry. But, yeah, I had some of that, and like I said, I'm just getting ready to call it a night here, okay?
Winky Tanky, it's good for you, Mr. Dave.
I really can't see how it's good for you with the breading and all that and the grease, but what do I know? And all the, they say MSG, no MSG, no MSG, I'm not, no MSG.
It's good for you.
No, I haven't had Chinese in quite a while, really. It's, actually sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, Roger. Well,
Well, I wouldn't recommend Pinky Audi, really. It's all right, I mean, but I've had much better, because I used to love Chinese food. But this stuff here, it tastes like Chinese food and everything. It just don't have no action, no zip, no excitement. I don't know. It don't matter. Don't care anyway. I ate, so there it is.
You know, I hung with this Oriental, this Asian girl years ago, and that's well, all she would say is taking outie.
You know, I'm not sure. I think when I first started eating taking outie back a while back, it was all right. I don't know if it's me though. It could be me or they're doing something different, but I don't know. Now it just seems kind of bland. It's really. You know, it tastes like Chinese, but it don't, you know. I ain't gonna bother about trying to figure it out. But over to you, Frank. Frank must be over and out.
Yeah, who knows, he's probably driving around testing them brakes out again. He sounds pretty happy about the situation. No copy 902. Anyway, Dave, I'm gonna get to the YouTube again, my usual. Just talking. I'll be monitoring, I guess. If you wanna holler at me a little later, go ahead. If you get up for a second plate of that Chinese, you know, you get a little hungry. Anyway, WSIL 946. I'm clear.
Yeah, hi, Ralph. Good evening to you. Good talking to you as always. Like I said, I just turned it on like 15 minutes prior. I was getting ready to reach over and shut it down, and I didn't hear nobody, and then Frank keyed in there. So, yeah, I'm going to sit up here probably for about another couple minutes, and then probably going to go just go hit it, man, to hell with it. Ain't nothing else happening, and then... I got sleep last night, but not very good. Not the best. I could tell when I got up this morning. I could just tell I didn't sleep very well last night. I don't know what it is with this damn mind racing stuff, but I'm trying here. Anyway, we'll talk to you in a minute, my friend. We'll talk to you in a minute, my friend. WSZ 793, and I'm listening.
All right, copy that, Dave. What's up?
WSJF 896, monitoring.
WRWR 357. This is WRWR 357, mobile and monitoring.
Are you still in there?
Yeah, come again with that call sign.
I was calling to see if my friend WSFC 902 is out there. WSFC 793 is here.
Yeah, I got you that time. Your signal's a little broken up, but readable now.
Roger, that should be better right there, right?
Yeah, that's considerably better.
Yeah, Roger, I have my antenna on a cookie sheet behind me next to the window, and I found out some time back if I close the Venetian blinds, it screws with my signal for the repeater, and I was getting ready to go to bed here in a few, and I pulled my Venetian blind down and wasn't thinking when I keyed up.
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't make a difference. Are they like an aluminum or metal blind?
Actually, I think the plastic, what they feel like.
Tell
maybe they are metal. I guess they're aluminum. You can bend them, you know, like a tape measure type deal. You know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I tend to forget, like in the morning I'll get out here and I'll start talking if I do, if I find any contacts, and they'll tell me it doesn't sound all that great. You know, and I get to the one room, what's going on? I didn't mess with anything. Then I'll look over and I go, oh, I know what's up. I forgot to raise my Venetian blinds.
Yeah, if they're metal, that would make a difference for sure. Curious, what repeater are you on?
My old home, standby, my old rusty but trusty Detroit repeater there, 625 Glad.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, I'm on the Macomb repeater.
Yeah, well, you're sounding pretty doggone good for going through the Macomb repeater. Got your full signal. No noise. Sounds excellent there, okay.
Well, I'm mobile right now with a 20-watt radio, and I'm just about a mile or two from the repeater going over the overpass, so I'm, like, straight line of sight.
Yeah, roger that. I wouldn't even be able to tell you we're mobile. That's how good you sound. Usually when somebody's mobile, you get the little flip going through there from, you know, moving, from them moving. But no, you don't have no noise, man. It's all just full modulation.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky I live, like I said, just a couple miles from the repeater. And generally, I'm within, 5 miles of it. I get crystal clear reports, but when I do start driving out north or getting on the expressway, then I start getting that picket fencing you're talking about for sure. But yeah, I'm lucky to live right underneath. And the Macomb repeater is a good receiver.
Yeah, roger that. It is a good receiver. A lot of times here lately in the morning, Detroit's been going down. It's not being shut off on purpose. It has a problem somewhere, and it'll shut down, and then he has to restart it again. So when it's down, I go to Mount Clemens, and I do just as good on Mount Clemens. Or if Detroit is, like, really super noisy, then I'll go over to Mount Clemens to escape that, because sometimes Detroit is really super noisy. Some of you got a Caterpillar engine running in your lap there while you're talking.
Frank?
Yeah, go ahead, Brake.
Yeah, Dave, this is Kevin, WSHR 566, Dave. I heard you guys talking out there. Yeah, I don't know, I think he said he lives by the repeater, too. Yeah, so do I. I live, maybe about a mile, probably not even a mile from the Mount Clemens repeater. How do I sound?
You always sound good. You always come in clean and nice. Rarely do I ever hear you come in noisy. I don't even know if I can even say rarely. And you always sound good, man. No problems at all.
Yeah, thanks for you for your tip on getting that 5RM.
Hey, you like that thing, don't you?
Yeah, copy that. I hardly ever use that 5RX anymore. I do here and there, but I just so used to using this one, I use this more than that other one.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's the only one I've ever owned. You know, like I said, people ask me, what do I think of Tiv or the Redicus handhelds and all this. I can't tell you. Never owned one. Never ran one. I started out with the 5RM, and that's what I have here, the 5RM. Like I said, they said the one, I have two brand new, as you know, in the box put away, and then I have the one up here that I started out in GMRS with. And it's, you know, it's been through hell, but it still looks good, it still runs good, and, you know, it serves my purpose. So that's why I just recommend that one.
Yeah, copy that. Didn't mean to interrupt the conversation. I heard you out there talking, so I wanted to say hello. So I'll catch you later, Dave. I'll be standing by here. Go get back to the conversation.
Yeah, who's back? Yeah, 902. All right, Kev. Well, it's always good talking to you, man. Appreciate you coming in and, you know, putting it down on me and letting me know what's happening there. Ain't nothing, man. Get in there anytime you want. Me and him were just talking. I forgot his numbers, I'm telling you. It's my bedtime. But, yeah, it's just back and forth stuff there. So get in there anytime you want. WSRZ 793, and I'm listening.
Yeah, jump in whenever. This is WRWR 357. Yeah, and I was just going to mention, you know, you said, Colton Peters is pretty strong, but I've also known it. I've heard people hitting that from New York State, so it listens well.
Yeah, copy that. And then when the whole system is open, it's pretty good.
Yeah, propagation has been pretty good this past week or so. I remember turning on my handheld and heard a repeater from Grand Rapids area. That kind of surprised me. I had to look it up online just to double check what I was hearing.
Yeah, copy that. I was the one night when that thing was linked, I was parked. I got in the UP.
Yeah,
that's usually get signals up in here from Ohio.
Peter, he was on one of the northern ones, but still, it's
on them days. There was one time I was out here. It was quite a long time ago. Well, not long ago, but a few months, maybe more. I talked to a guy out in New York. He was outside the Bronx or something, somewhere in there, and he was making it through here. I was kind of amazed there. But mostly, usually it's signals out of Ohio. Or it's people up in the upper part of the state that are far away from repeaters. That technically their cities or towns don't have repeaters, but they make it through into the network. They're okay.
Yeah, I had a gentleman one time from New York. You know, he was most of his trip was across Lake Erie, but he was telling me how he was high up on he was near the shoreline, but he was high up, you know, in elevation. You think that had a lot to do with it?
Yeah, it's the same guy I talked to then. Yeah, that's what he told me also.
The crazy thing was he sounded clear as a bell when I talked to him.
Yeah, same here. He had little noise with him. I mean, if I'm going to nitpick, he had a little bit of noise, but nothing that... I wouldn't even worry about it. He was coming in clean and nice. I was really surprised because I thought it was somebody from around here for a moment there, and then when he told me it was that, I was freaking out. I mean, yeah, I've said hello to the people down in Ohio and stuff. I've had, you know, people from Ohio come up in here. They come up in here just about every morning, depending on conditions, and sometimes at night, 488. Gets out there at night and talks to them, but I mostly find them out here in the morning. But when that guy told me he was in New York, that really threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I think it was a repeater out in Grand Rapids, and you know, they were heard two men having a conversation just on my HD, and they were clear as a bell. And I mean, unless there was a repeater that has gone up here with the same frequency, I just happen to be on scan. But yeah, it's when it's open, it's pretty amazing.
Great. Roger that. Go ahead, Bray.
793, how you doing? This is WSKF 896. What are you guys talking about? Seeing how far out you guys have heard. I had a guy a couple weeks ago and he was sitting on the Illinois and Indiana border there coming through. And same thing coming through real clear.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, there's all kinds, man. But, you know, New York's been the furthest point I've ever heard, but like I said, in the morning, quite a few mornings, it starts coming in. There's a repeater down in Ohio somewhere that has a female repeater identification voice like they do up here. And I'll hear her, and then I'll know if I can hear her, announcing the repeater, then I know that, you know, the propagation's open.
Yeah, Roger that. I mean, the advantage coming from New York is you got all Lake Erie, you know, nothing in the way. It's nice to hear when you hear, the guy was saying 357 was saying out in Grand Rapids, or I've heard down in Illinois and Indiana, so it's nice seeing the system open up, and it's working well.
Yeah, I once talked to a guy out of Ontario. He was way over in Ontario. He was way up there, and gave him a radio check and stuff, and talked to him a few seconds. And then 488 or Jack, he came out and told me that it's illegal to talk to Canada. It's illegal to talk to other countries. I don't know. Blah blah blah. You know, I'm not saying he blah blah blah. I'm just saying. But I didn't know that. But then somebody else told me that if they give you a three-number call letter like we have over here, then you can go ahead. I don't know. Either way, though, that's the only thing. Because I've had a couple times, I've had guys come out of Ontario come in here real good, too. Real good, you know. I'll give them a quick radio check, and then I'll leave it at that. Because I don't know, I don't want to get in no trouble. But I ain't one to that, let somebody sit out there and ignore them because I can't talk to them. I just jump in and say, it's working, and that's it, So, yeah.
Yeah, copy that. I think, not just talk internationally, but, we got Canada too close to us. So, but here I'm inside, talking to say hello. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I've been in my video on, and I'm just so, but didn't mean to interrupt you guys. You guys have a good night. I'll be kicking on the side of your monitor. WSK 896.
Yeah, 896, no problem, man. Jump in anytime you want. That's what it's all about. Get a little something going here. Like I said, I'm getting ready to go to bed anyway, but now that I got a couple people to talk to out here, I'm going to take my time here for a few minutes at least. So, all right, 896, you have yourself a good evening. Sounding good. And good talking to you, my friend. WSRZ 793, and I'm listening. What are you, 902?
Yeah, I'm still in the mix. I've had it out for a minute. I had to get some groceries out of me. I'm still here.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I just had to take care of this business out here with everybody else. And, well, you know how it is there, man. So, well, at least you got it all going. That's good. At least everything's going in your favor there, at least mostly. So, but ain't nothing over here to report. Same old crap and lousy Chinese food and my ice water.
I tell you what, Chinese food actually sounded pretty good, but Carol just made breaded cauliflower and breaded pork chops. But yeah, Chinese still sounds good.
I like good Chinese food. Like I said, it's hard to explain, but this place here, it's all right, but it's not what other Chinese restaurants I've been to, man, I love this stuff. But this place here, it's close and it's quick and whatever the hell, it's something. I think I'd rather have me a piece of sub or something, but the hell with it though, Roger.
Yeah, no, Roger that, but I don't mind a little cat and a rat once in a while. so it's all good to me. They make it taste good.
WSCL 475 chiming in. Cat and rat for Chinese. That's a new one. Can't say I've ever heard that before.
Yeah, well, don't go to New York or Chicago.
It's good for you.
We love you a long time.
James, what WSAL 946. What's the name of that place you ordered from? Pull out or something?
Yeah, pull the Audi. No, it's called Fakey Audi.
I find that hilarious.
Sounds like it'd be real messy.
I seen one the other day online. It was something like if you walk into a Chinese restaurant and there's a little kid doing math behind the counter, you know the food's going to be good.
I'm thinking about it, but I'm still not getting it.
My good friend, Rustin Peace brother, Russell, he'd have to go to Saginaw to his doctor's appointment. So I would cruise with him. And after his doctor's appointment, what the hell was the name of this place again? Chen's. Chen's. C-H-E-N-S. Chen's. It was a Chinese buffet place, man. You just go in there, pay at the counter, and then just grab yourself a plate. You know, like one of them buffet joints there, Golden Corral type deals. But it was all Chinese. Man, that stuff there was so good. I used to sit there, man, while he's in the doctor's office. I'd be drooling practically, man. I can't wait to get to Chen's and start getting in on this business. That stuff was good, man. I used to always look forward to going there.
Hey, when I started going to the urologist years ago, the first doctor I saw, his name was Dr. Shock.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I made a little joke to him one time. He goes, oh, you're going to give me the shock? He's like, well, I've never heard that before. Just bent over.
When I was in the hospital last time, I had a heart lady doctor, whatever, come in. Her name was Joan Crawford. I don't know if you know who Joan Crawford was. That was her name, Joan Crawford.
I'll let you guys get back at it. WSEL 475 clear, pulling into a buddy's house. Y'all have a good night out there.
Yeah, 475, well, you get in anytime you want, man. That's what it's all about, like I told everybody else. That's what it's all about. There ain't no need to apologize for putting your 2 cents in. But either way, anyway, you have a good evening, my friend. We'll talk to you later. WSFZ 793, I'm listening.
Have a good night, all gentlemen. Great talking to you all. I know 902 number. I know 793, the last guy that's coming booming in here. I don't have his numbers, but great talking to all of you. WSIL 946, I'm clear.
Yeah, roger that, guys. WSFT 902, and I'm gonna be kind of listening in the background here for a minute, but I'm gonna get into a movie and try to fall out. Get ready to go to work tomorrow. But Dave, I'll put it on you in a little bit. Hopefully, I'll be able to get by there one of these days coming up. WSFT 902, and I'm listening.
Yeah, all right, Frank. Ralph. Y'all have yourselves a good night. I'm probably going to sit here about another minute more, then I'm gonna shut this bad boy down and get with what I'm going to get with over here. So, all right, we'll catch you guys tomorrow. We'll see what happens if I'm out here, the repeater holds up and everything. And y'all have a good night out there. Sounding good. See ya. Sounding really good out there.
WSSZ again, WSSZ 793, and I'm listening for a few more minutes. Alright, third time calling. Good night, everybody. WSSZ 793, I'm set now.
This is WRWR357.
Are you out there? This is WRWR357.
Here, you've been somebody about 2 minutes. WRMC653.
Okay. Hey. I'll send your report. One more time. Yeah, I just wanted a quick signal with you about MD radio. That's kind of common.
Oh, well, sounds pretty good to me, but I'm here on a handheld reaching the Detroit repeater from Ghost Point.
Okay, I'm on a on the repeater. Just report.
You're clear when you're coming in, but you're breaking up just a little bit.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good night. This is WRWRC57. WRWR357, Kenny, still out there? WRWR357, Station 2, do you hear me? 357, do you copy?
WSIE375 monitoring.
WR357 station 2, how do you read?
Yeah, Kenny, I read you now. Did you move to the other side of your house?
Yeah, that's south side's a little bit better.
Yeah, I bet your house was kind of in the way of you and the repeater. That's why you couldn't get out at first. You still trying to transmit? Because I haven't heard nothing from you in the last 30 seconds. Well, I'm going to go inside now. I'm not sure if you're still trying to transmit. Hopefully you can still hear me, but I'll turn my radio on when I get inside, but or you can text me. This is WRWR357.
WR357, station 2, how do you read now?
Hey, I read you now. What'd you change? Yeah, like I said, I can hear you now. Do you, did you change something? Yeah, I'm hearing you. You're faint, breaking up just a little bit, but you're readable. This is WRWR 357, station 1.
Okay, station 2, back station 1, 5x5.
Did you change anything, your location, or anything?
Same location, south side of the house.
Okay, I got you. You're really breaking up there. I'm not sure if you're indoors. You may want to move to a window. This is WRWR357.
Actually, I'm walking in the neighborhood.
All right, well, you're making it in, but it's kind of scratchy and breaking up a little.
Sure. Thank you.